Welcome to the Coffee with Craner show. Hope everyone is doing well. Today we have Ron Jofu from the Rivertown Times. He's an editor and reporter. He's been an editor and reporter for the Rivertown Times and also the Amherstburg Echo when that took place for over 25 years. He started his journalism career studying at the St. Clair College in Windsor. He's a Windsor Essex native. He's also a board member at Community Living Essex County. I know I've known Ron for a few years now, and I'd have to say he pretty much writes every article in the Rivertown Times. He's working 7 days a week, works extremely hard to ensure that we have a great paper and great news broadcasted in the Amherstburg community. So, Ron, thank you for joining me on today's show.
No, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
So this is Ron's on the other side of the interview today. Today I'll be interviewing Ron. He's interviewed me before, so now I'm going to interview him. Ron, I start every show with asking a question relating to coffee. I see you have a Tim Hortons cup with you today.
Yes, I do. Yep.
That's really Canadian of you. I have to ask, where in Amherstburg, when you're on the go, is your favorite place to grab coffee?
It probably is Timmy's. I go in there, they know my order now. So I walk in and say, large double-double, and yep, that's... I'll take one of those. Yeah, I mean, it's not like I have anything. You know, I'll grab McDonald's coffee, grab Caffeine and Co. So
You're not picky.
No, I like it all pretty much. I'm just getting in the habit of going to Timmy's. I enjoy the coffee there as well. So
quick and easy.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Awesome. So Ron, you started your journalism career 25 years ago. Started at St. Clair College. And I have to ask, why did you start your career in journalism, and what interests you most about the profession you're in today?
Well, going back all the way to grade school, I used to like going in and getting the sports updates and telling all my friends about them. And went into high school and actually wrote for the high school paper. And I went to Sandwich Secondary. I have Amherstburg roots, went to Anderton Public and went to Sandwich after that. And kind of grew up on the LaSalle Amherstburg border. While at Sandwich, I wrote for the high school paper. I don't know if it's still called the Orb, but it was then called, it was called the Orb back then, ORB in school colors, orange, red, and blue, I believe it was. And yeah, so I did that, and one thing led to another, and I just, there was no one, you know,
yes,
one moment where I said, okay, I got to go into this. It's just kind of, I like writing and I like doing that kind of stuff. So I ended up going to St. Clair in 92, I believe it was, 92 to 95. It was a 3-year program at the time. And at the main campus, they have the nice Mediaplex downtown, but I was at the main campus. And then, one thing led to another. And I did an internship at LaSalle Silhouette in 94. And then I did an internship at the Echo in 95 and started as a freelancer, became full-time. And
the dedication that you've given to the town of Amherstburg to really showcase all that the great things that are happening in the community, it's a great to see. And the profession that you're in, it looks like you learned about it throughout high school. It's something that sparked your interest being on the local announcements. And now you're in journalism, helping promote an entire community. So you're probably promoting 400 or 500 people. Now you're promoting 20,000 people and plus. So what interests you most about the profession that you're in today?
Well, I just like going out, meeting people and getting the word out what's happening in town. And, you know, there's still moments, like you said, like I'm writing to an audience of about at least 20,000 people, and maybe more, depending on who's online. And there's part of me that's still kind of, I don't know if it blows me away, but it kind of just makes me sit back and go, wow, it's like I still haven't wrapped my head around the fact that this many people have access to my work.
Yes.
But I just like kind of getting the word out and meeting people. And
that's exactly it. Now, we talked briefly about this, but for those watching, Ron, what would you say have been like throughout your career, the highlight interviews or the coolest interviews that you've taken part in so far? Like, who have you met? Is there any celebrities? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the cool part. I mean, once in a while you do get to meet you know, some celebrities over and above like the regular dignitaries, and you know, obviously meeting the great citizens of Amherstburg.
Yes,
and talking with them is great, but once in a while you do get somebody you see on the on TV or in politics. And like we were talking before we went live, and I think I've met at least three or four, not well, shouldn't say met, but I've been in the room and in scrums with about three or four prime ministers, Jean Chrétien, Paul Martin, so Stephen Harper. He was at a winery in McGregor. Before he became PM, I saw him when he became prime minister, and even Justin Trudeau, I don't think I've seen him yet as the prime minister, but years ago, I can relate to, I think it's 2006 or 2008, during that campaign, I think it was his first campaign for MP, he actually was brought down to Amherstburg by Susan Whalen, and was at, yeah. Was at General Amherst High School meeting the students there at the time, so that's been neat. I mean, for those of anyone who knows me knows I'm a diehard Montreal Canadiens fan, and they've bought old timers tours to Amherstburg. I got to meet some of the Habs, and I remember even I've been watching. I grew up in the 70s. I'm 47 years old, and you know, watched shows like Happy Days, and I even saw Henry Winkler with Vaughn. So you know, I've met different various different people. So I mean, or been in the same room at least with various different people, various different celebrities. It's in that respect, it's been very interesting, and I may quote the Fonz, very cool.
That's awesome, and it's exciting that you've met three to four different prime ministers, so many different sports celebrities that come through Amherstburg. It's incredible, and it's great that you're able to do that with your profession. And I have to ask, you work 7 days a week, and you're always on the go. You're always trying to get to that next community event or the next story to report from. What does a typical day look like for you? What are some of the responsibilities that you're responsible for throughout your day of work?
I come in every morning. Usually I show up about 9. It's, mm-hmm. You know, the office right now is closed to the public due to COVID-19. I still show up. Check phone messages, check emails, and get back to people that way, and set up appointments. And like Monday mornings, I got to get my material to our graphic designer who lays out the paper. I used to do that. I don't anymore. So I get help that way. So
awesome.
Tom Warwick's watching. Thank you very much, Tom. So I help him out, getting him what he needs to lay out the paper. And I kind of stay on top. Right now, like I stay on top of other emails. I set up a point. I do maybe if I have phone interviews to do that day, I do my phone interviews. If I got to go to an assignment, actually physically go somewhere. I mean, obviously now I'm social distancing and that sort of thing. We're still, if I still got to leave the office for an assignment, I do that. And there's just various odds and ends you got to do in a small office. Anything from take out the garbage to check an email to book a memoriam to, you know, take down somebody's classifieds. And for those of you seeing the Amherstburg phone book around town, I've been delivering those. So it's, you know, in a small office, you got to do lots of different things. So
yes,
that pretty much keeps me busy. And in addition to writing, reporting, and taking pictures.
How has your world changed because of COVID-19 now?
Oh, it's been, I'm getting used to it, I guess. But I mean, it's still very, it's still strange at points. I mean, in March, when it first really started coming down and the restrictions started to be put in place, it was kind of scary and kind of amazing watching my email. You know, this event's, that event's postponed. This is not going to happen right now. And so, you know, you have that moment. You're going, you know, oh my God, what am I going to put in the paper? But you figure it out. I mean, there's always meetings to cover. You know, I don't go to council meetings in person right now. I cover them virtually. I'm on the Zoom calls. And whether that be Amherstburg Town Council, Essex County Council, School Board, I'm checking in with those virtually. And you just kind of you stay on top of it. Like I say, I mean, if you got to go to an assignment, if it requires you, I leave the office, you know, you still got a social distance and, you know, be respectful of others. And
yes,
you know, careful. I mean, you got to stay safe. I mean, the pandemic is still happening and anyone can fall victim to COVID-19. I mean, it's, you know, anyone can contract this virus, so you got to be very careful.
That's exactly it. Now, as a journalist, what are some obstacles that you're faced with in your career? not just specifically COVID-19, but what would be some obstacles as a journalist that you've had to overcome?
A lot of it's early on, especially, you know, you gotta get to know the community and you have to get to know people, and you just gotta kind of learn the job. And you know, some people, there's very instances where they just don't want to be interviewed or get their pictures taken. I've been at accident scenes and fire calls and been hollered at, and you know, unfortunately, that's part of the gig, right? I mean, nobody really wants to see anyone's house on fire or in a car accident, but you gotta, you know, overcome emotions like that. And honestly, you gotta, you know, there's stuff people just, you write certain things and people just don't like it, and you got to deal with that, and you handle those complaints, and some of the stuff, you just got to balance your time, and you got to, when you got to multitask and you do a lot of different things, you got to learn how to do that. You got to, okay, and today's a, you know, I don't have a lot of appointments today, so today's a quote unquote writing day, so you got to do it that way. So you just got to kind of learn it, and you know, sometimes you just got to, like I say, you got to kind of learn the job, and you got to.
It all comes with experience, right? And time.
It's you got to kind of, I'm not sure if learn how to handle people is the right expression, but you just got to learn how to deal with
like customer service is huge, I imagine, right?
Say again, sorry.
Like customer service is huge in your role.
Oh, it is. Yeah, you got to learn how to, like, and so a lot of it, you got to learn how to handle, like, deal with people respectfully, properly, and not just, you know, when you're doing reporting. But like I say, in a small office, you got to handle customers, and you have to, you know, take complaints. You got to handle sales calls if the sales rep's not in the office. So if you got to take down a podium, so you just got to learn how to deal with the public, do it respectfully, do it properly. And sometimes, sometimes people are angry about a certain issue or a certain subject, and you got to learn how to deal with that. And then you got to budget your time, and you got to learn how to do it, like learn how to balance everything.
So what has been a skill that you've had to learn when you first began being a journalist? What are some skills you had to learn in this role?
I think a lot of it early on, you just, I mean, obviously in school, you learn how to do interviews, you learn how to report, but I found that I've really grown since I became a co-op student, later a freelancer, and then full-time employee at the two local papers in town. I think the biggest thing is just you learn how to, you know, deal with people a little bit more easily and a little bit more professionally. Not that I was unprofessional before, but
yes,
early on I would actually take a clipboard, write down my questions or write them in my notebook and kind of go that way with it. Now it's just, I call up a person and, okay, what do you think about this topic? You know, I'm kind of go boom, boom out of my head. And that's kind of the skills I've developed over the years, is probably that. I think I've grown as a photographer over the years.
Yes.
I've just taken, once you learn how to do it and learn how to use the equipment, and you just, some of the stuff I took early is just, I look back on it now, and what I thought was good then, and I look back and it's like, okay, I don't really think it's as good now. And I'd like, not that I, every picture I take now is great or anything, but I think I've grown as a photographer. I think I take better pictures. I think I've just developed my writing, my photography, my reporting. And I think if either other aspects of the business, I think I've learned as well. So, I mean,
yes.
So I think I really, it just comes with experience, comes with time. And I just, you know, you kind of learn the business kind of thing. And
yes, exactly. And one thing I noticed when you interview people, you're on a notepad and you're jotting everything down. And for me to look at it, I couldn't read it. But for you, you've probably developed a like short form for every language that you write down on the paper.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, there was a period of time I did use a tape recorder or voice recorder, kind of showing my age there. But yeah, it's kind of, I found it a lot of ways. It took me too long. By the time you tape, transcribe, you go rewind and play, rewind and play. And I just kind of, like you say, I developed my own form of shorthand. I actually learned shorthand when I was in high school, but I kind of developed my own version. Like I said, if people want to read my notebook, and if I ever got a hold of one, but not that I've had to read it, obviously, but
It has its own encryption.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like you kind of develop your own sort of encryption, your own language sort of thing, your own version of shorthand. And just because, you know, you can only write so fast and people are talking, yes. You got to kind of, you know, develop your own system to keep up and keep track and keep on top of things in your notebook.
I would almost compare that to like being in a classroom as a student trying to copy down what a professor's writing. You have to make those short form words or something quick and easy, right?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you're in a council meeting, you just can't interrupt the council meeting and say, "Oh, sorry, what'd you say?" So you got to develop your own version. You got to keep on everything and you learn how to paraphrase. You learn how to kind of weed out some of the stuff that maybe isn't worth going in the paper sort of thing. And got to kind of...
Would you say listening skills are huge?
Sorry?
Would you say being able to listen is a huge skill to have?
I think so, yeah. You got to be able to focus on not only taking notes, but what the people are saying, because there's still a lot of times they're still talking. You just can't, you can't tell people to stop mid-sentence, and you certainly can't interrupt a council meeting or any sort of meeting. And just to say, excuse me, let me take down that last point. So you got to listen, you got to write, you got to learn how to balance all of that. Because like you say, it's no different from being in a classroom. Like, you're not going to interrupt your professor or your teacher and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, wait a minute." And you got to focus on what you're doing, and you got to.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Now, in the news recently, there's been definitely some changes to the newspaper industry. And I want to ask a question. How has Rivertown Times adapted to some of these new changes? I know there's been some shutdowns in other communities. Amherstburg is still alive. The newspaper is going strong. We have a very strong base of people that read the newspaper, who follow Rivertown Times on social media. But what would you say are some ways Rivertown Times has been adapting to this new shift in the newspaper industry?
Well, I mean, we're trying to stay on top of stuff. I mean, obviously we have our website. It's at the bottom of the screen. If you see it scrolling across there. So we have that. We have our website. We have social media. Not that we post everything to social media. We still want people looking at our product, obviously. And but we still, for instance, one example is, like, years ago, I never would, Twitter wasn't a thing back when I first started. Nobody even heard of it. It wasn't invented yet. Obviously, they couldn't have heard it. So now I live tweet council meetings. I try to keep people informed that way using those sort of methods. And, you know, we just kind of, you know, grow with the time sort of thing. And you kind of, unfortunately, there's some stuff you have to adapt to whether you want to or not. Like you say, unfortunately, there's been recent shutdowns. And, you know, newspapers don't employ as much staff as they used to. So you just got to adapt that way. And you got to shoulder maybe a bit more work, but that's okay. And technology's changed. We'd back when I first started, I was in a dark room. I went in the dark room back at the old Echo building. And, you know, we called souping the negs back in the day. And you just take your negs and you develop them. Now there are no dark rooms. It's all digital, so we've adapted to that. You know, there's no, back in the day, there was these big paste-up boards. You just printed them off, and you pasted them up, and you drove the flats to the press that way. And then now everything's electronic. It's become a lot easier in that sense. And
For those watching, what is a dark room?
A dark room, yeah, it's just literally a room. Quite literally, it goes dark. You gotta, when you first, back in the old days of film, you had the little film canisters. You go into a pitch black room. You can have no light whatsoever. And open the film canister up. You take it out. You put it on reels. There's like a little tank, maybe yay big. I don't know if you can see it in my hands, but you go in there and do everything in the dark. And you kind of use your chemicals that way. It's a light tight container. Then eventually you can put like a red light on and you develop your film that way. You have an enlarger, and you put your film, your negatives in the enlarger, and you shine it on a piece of photo paper, and it kind of burns it into the photo paper sort of thing. And kind of burns is probably not the right way to say it, but then you run it through more chemicals, and now with everything, you just plug a camera in a computer, away you go. It's a lot easier.
So in that dark room, it takes whatever your producing with the film, and it puts it directly onto a paper, like the news, like a newspaper.
In the darkroom, yeah, you take it out, and it's like the film, and it becomes your negatives, and you make your put your photos onto the photo paper that way. And then you pick out whichever. Well, you go through your negatives, you pick out whatever photo you want, and you make the prints. And from the prints, they used to have back in when I first started, even then, I think it was starting to go obsolete. A PMT camera that shot a picture of a picture and kind of put the if you look at a newspaper photograph, the little dots in it, and
yes,
you know, I put that in it. But then you know, obviously scanners came along, you scanned your pictures. Now everything now
it's you digital. Don't
have stuff as much nearly as much anymore. You gotta everything's digital, and it's in that respect, it's a lot easier.
Yeah, I think times are definitely changing with media and producing media. So you've obviously seen an enormous change as your career being a journalist for 25 years plus. And if there are students watching that are looking for advice on being a journalist, what could be some things that you could let them know that they should be aware of before heading into this profession?
First of all, be curious. Obviously, if you want to go into it, you get understand the issues, understand what's going on in the world. And if you want, I would recommend you have a hand in everything, sort of like if you want to be a sports reporter, that's fine. But I mean, you got to be prepared also, maybe to cover the news as well. If you know, there's only X amount of jobs out there. So, I mean, you got to be prepared to get your foot in the door. And sometimes you might have to cover the news. You might have to cover counseling. You might have to cover entertainment stories like high school play or that kind of stuff. You know, be prepared to do a little bit of everything. And if you want to specialize, that's great. And if you get the opportunity, by all means, go into it. But just be prepared to do a little bit of everything. Be curious. Sharpen up your writing skills, sharpen up your listening skills, learn how to use a camera. I mean, I know it's a lot of people have cameras on their phones or digital cameras of their own. You know, get out there, be curious, take photos, you know, listen to what people in the business are telling you, and you take their advice as well. And I think that's probably the best advice I can give to people. I mean, it's just, if you know how to write, I mean, if you know, be prepared. Like, not every assignment's going to be that interesting. So you will have to learn how to develop stories and get stories out of stuff that might not be the most interesting to you. Not everyone likes going to a council meeting or understands what's going on in a council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to get into it, you know, go to a meeting, learn what's going on, learn how a council meeting works. Learn what they're talking about, learn the issues, learn the people involved, and then just kind of immerse yourself a little bit into it as much as you can. If you don't go to the meeting, a lot of meetings now are live stream, so you can watch them online in the comfort of your own home. In fact, that's the only way they're happening now due to COVID. But I would, just be curious, be attentive, develop your writing skills, develop your listening skills, and, you know, learn how to use the camera.
Yes.
And, just don't be afraid. Sometimes, there's still people out there younger, and I was like this. I was the same way. Sometimes you're a little bit timid, a little bit afraid to maybe to go up to a certain person and interview them. And
yes.
You got to kind of maybe work up your nerve a little bit, but that comes with time. Like
that experience.
Exactly. Yeah. Now it's like I don't. If I want to interview the mayor or whomever back in the day, I'd be really nervous. I'd be sweating. I'd be writing my questions down. Now I just pick up the phone and call them and kind of go from there.
Exactly. So my biggest takeaway from that is just trying to attend as many different events that you can, getting your feet wet, and meeting new people is something that will help you get out of your comfort zone, trying to write stories for pretty much any type of group, right? You mentioned council meetings, going to council meetings, even if it's not something you're interested in, whether it could be anything, but going to it, trying to develop a story was a huge takeaway from that. So thank you for sharing that, Ron. And I have to say thank you for joining the show today. It was great to interview you. rather than you interviewing me or somebody else. So I'm glad to have you on today's show, and thanks so much.
Thank you. It's nice to be on the other side for a change.
Excellent. So we'll see you next time on the Coffee with Craner show.
Yeah, take care. Thank you.
Cheers.
All right. Cheers.